Welcome to Tune 2 Yesterday, bringing you shows from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levanier, for an hour of mystery. Later on, two film roles from an Ernest Hemingway motion picture will be on suspense, and a story called Two for the Road, but right now it's I Cover the Waterfront, based on the characters in the book of the same name by Max Miller. It was turned into a motion picture in 1933, and what we're about to hear is an audition recording in two parts, seen together by CBS and starring Larry Thor, with the date of August 29th, 1955. It's I Cover the Waterfront.
I've been here so long, even the seagulls must recognize me. They must pass the word along about me from generation to generation, from egg to egg. Friends of mine, college classmates, people my own age, have gone out and made their mark in the world. They have become artists or businessmen or editors, and yet here I am, still a waterfront reporter.
I Cover the Waterfront, stories from the files of a newspaper man's memory, based upon the best-selling book by Max Miller, starring Larry Thor.
I'm called a good waterfront reporter, but so far I have escaped the word veteran. When I'm called not only a good waterfront reporter, but a veteran, then for sure all hope is dissolved. And I need look ahead only to the day when the paper presents me with a gold watch and a final check. But meanwhile, life is not without its compensations along my waterfront. The sun sparkles across this bay more frequently than on many another. And when the rain comes, it is gentle, and the fog is a gray caress which doesn't strangle. Then, too, I have my friends. There are the gulls, squeaking, squawking, and ceaselessly hungry. And the pelicans, gray of head and silent upon their whitened pilings. There are other friends, too, without wings. There's Gino Mello, who owns the game fishing boat, Genoa.
I bring you in today. You put it in the paper. What do you say, huh?
And there's Mrs. Morgan, whose boarding house for girls is a rendezvous for the boys when the fleet's in.
I keep telling her she's in the wrong business, Lee, but she won't listen to me. Maybe you could find her a healthier job. Something out in the open, you know, like a car hop or a cashier in a drive-in.
And Johnny Trompado, the Portuguese. After 2 weeks of fishing Mexican waters, both Johnny and his tuna clipper come home loaded.
Hey, Mr. Moran.
Oh, you have a good trip, Johnny?
Good. Jesus mio, those albacore jump in a boat like they don't care to live in the ocean no more. Hey, Lee, what's happen around here while I go away?
Oh, nothing much. Nothing much ever happens around here, Johnny.
Don't try to fool, Johnny. You see my woman around?
Carla? No, why?
I got an idea she making monkey business when I go away.
Oh, I doubt it, Johnny.
You hear anything about her?
Not a thing.
I think she make monkey business. I go home now and find out.
You better go home and sleep it off.
I got plenty of time to sleep after I find out. Look, you. You my friend.
Well, sure.
You are my friend, ain't you? Now, listen. Listen to me. There ain't nothing worse than a woman make monkey business behind her man's back.
Oh, Johnny.
Nothing worse, Lee, nothing. You don't know, maybe. Maybe you don't got a woman. But I tell you, a man's bones turn to jelly. His blood, it turns to water. And he ain't no longer a man.
But, Johnny, you haven't any proof.
What I need with proof, I got suspicions.
What characters? Some simple and direct, some confused, some venal saints, others haloed harridans. All of them pass by my office on the waterfront. I call it an office. It's just a stuffy room in a warehouse with an outside stairway, which I share with a publicity agent for the deep-sea fishing barge. And looking out on the harbor, there's a window behind which I spend many hours looking, too, and waiting for something to happen. It doesn't very often, something unusual, that is. But today, it did. The door opened. She stood there. I didn't recognize her at first. 10 years had changed her. Her black hair was sleeker, her dark eyes deeper. And the smart cut of her gray traveling suit marked her as a stranger to my waterfront, if not to me.
Hello, Lee.
Edith. What are you doing in San Diego?
Business and pleasure. This part's pleasure.
I can't believe it's you.
Well, have I changed so much?
Well, not changed, but different, maybe.
Well, you don't seem very glad to see me.
Glad? Well, I'm delighted, but it is a shock. You walking in like this.
I think I always shocked you.
Here, sit down. Tell me all about yourself.
Oh, no, I want to find out about you.
Hmm?
How long you've been married, how many children you have, things like that.
They're all in this drawer, diapered with rejection slips.
Well, then you're not married.
No. How about you, Edie?
Only to my career.
And just what is your career, Edie?
What it started out to be while we were still in college.
Fashion designer?
That's right.
And a successful one, I'll bet.
Well, that all depends. Commuting between Paris, New York, and Hollywood can get mighty dull.
It can?
You know, sometimes, Lee, I think I'd like to give up the whole thing and open my own little dress shop in some quiet little town.
Like San Diego?
Maybe. Well, where have you been all this time?
Right here, this quiet little town.
Doing what?
What I started out to do in college.
Oh, then you're a journalist.
I'm a reporter.
Oh. Well, but that must be terribly exciting, interviewing famous people, writing about fires and political scandals and...
Come here. Look out there. See those little boats?
Yes.
They're fishing boats, and they don't smell very good up close.
But, Leah...
And that big, ugly thing, that dredger?
Yes?
And that minesweeper tying up at the Navy dock? That's what I write about. How many cubic yards of muck that dredger sucks up to make our new turning basin? How many tons of sardines or tuna or mackerel those fishing boats bring in? And I write about the Navy, too, and what ships are due in port. Which ships leave. And each year in the anniversary edition, I rewrite the story of how Cabrillo discovered San Diego Harbor in 1542. And then, when the Grunion are running in the dark of the moon, I write about them. And when a Portuguese fisherman gets married or has a baby or dies, I put his name in the paper. Sounds pretty dull, doesn't it?
No.
But you know something, Edie? I love it. I'd never said it that way even to myself, but I do love it. And I had to say something to this girl who had been everywhere and seen everything. And she seemed to understand. She didn't say anything. She just stood there in that close little room with the sunny reflection and the water dancing on the ceiling. She looked at me the way she used to. And I knew she understood. For an instant, we'd found what we had lost 10 years ago. And the phone rang. And it was lost again. Moran speaking.
This is Barker on the city desk. I got a shooting for you.
Well, you got the wrong reporter, boss. This is Moran on the waterfront.
So's the shooting.
That's out of my line. And anyway, I've got a very important luncheon date.
Break it. You've been yelling to do a front page story. This is it.
But, boss...
The victim's name is Trompato.
Trompato? Johnny Trompato?
His wife. Know him?
Yeah, yes, I know him. I was best man at his wedding.
And you know the address?
I know it.
Okay, get going.
Sure, boss. Sure. Edie, I was going to ask you to have lunch with me, but something's come up.
Well, won't it wait until after lunch?
No, I'm afraid not. A friend of mine just shot his wife.
Oh, how awful.
I talked to him just this morning. He was drunk and jealous and suspicious, but I didn't think he'd do this. I'm awfully sorry, Edie.
Oh, I understand.
Can you have dinner with me tonight?
Well, I was going back up to Los Angeles on the 420 plane.
There are later planes.
Yes, I suppose there are.
I ought to have the story wrapped up by 6:30, okay?
Okay, Lee.
As I climbed the hill to the Trompetto Shack, an ambulance passed me going down, a morgue ambulance. So it wasn't just a shooting. It was murder. There was a crowd of neighbors standing around talking in low tones and looking at the house the way people do after an act of violence, as though they were waiting for the second show. Inside, in the kitchen, the police were busy gathering the jigsaw pieces they would try to fit into a picture, dusting for fingerprints, digging a spent bullet out of the wall, taking pictures, asking questions. It was like a scene in a movie. Lieutenant Hayes of Homicide is the director.
Well, what did it say on the truck?
Plumber. Plumber, it say.
What plumber?
I don't know. I not read English good.
What was the license number of the truck?
I not see.
All right. That's all for now. Oh, hello, Moran.
Hello, Lieutenant. What have you got?
Not much. The victim's Carla Trompetto.
Yeah.
Somebody pumped a couple of 38 slugs into her. Hey, what are you doing here? I thought you covered the waterfront.
The victim's husband is a fisherman.
You know him?
Slightly. Have you talked to him yet?
How can I talk to him? He and his brother have been out fishing for 2 weeks. They aren't due back for a couple of days yet.
So Johnny wasn't a suspect. Maybe he didn't come home this morning after all. Maybe he was sleeping it off down on the beach or out on his boat. The police would catch up with him soon enough. Maybe I could catch up with him sooner. Lieutenant, what was it you were asking that woman about a truck?
Say she saw a truck parked out in front.
Yeah.
A plumber's truck. She heard the shots, and then she saw a man run out of the house and drive off in the truck.
How long do you think it'll take you to pick him up?
Who knows? I have to check every plumber's shop in town.
Try to make it for the final audition, huh?
Oh, sure, sure. Anything to oblige. Hey, you can do something for me.
Glad to.
You keep an eye on that waterfront of yours. Let me know when Trompetto and his brother get back from that fishing trip. I want to talk to him.
Sure thing, Lieutenant. You'd be the first to know. There wasn't much time. If I'd seen Johnny that morning, other people must have seen him, too. As soon as the news broke, they'd talk. But as long as the police were looking for a plumber, I had a little time to look for Johnny. He and his brother, Frank, moored their boat out at the Point Lome end of the bay. It was there, and Frank was aboard.
Hi, Lee.
Hi, Frank. Is Johnny around?
No. He beat it for home as soon as we tie up. He can't wait for to see his collar. You know how that Johnny is about his collar.
Yeah, Frank. Hang on to something and listen. Carla's dead.
Dead? Dio mio, Jesus Christo, son.
She was murdered less than an hour ago.
Oh, no, no, no. Johnny was jealous, crazy jealous, but Johnny won't kill her. You know that,
The police aren't looking for Johnny. They don't even know you're back in port.
Oh, dear me.
Where's Johnny, Frank?
I don't know, Lee. I don't know. I ain't seen him since we tie up. But you know Johnny. He love her. He won't kill her. Oh, he say crazy things sometime, but he love her too
Frank,
much.
Frank, you carry a gun on board?
Sure.
What kind?
38 Colt.
Where do you keep it?
Right here, in this tackle locker. Lee. It ain't here. The gun is gone.
Tomorrow night, at the same time, we continue Brother's Keeper, one of the stories from the files of a newspaper man's memory based upon the best-selling book by Max Miller, I Cover the Waterfront. This is the CBS Radio Network. I Cover the Waterfront. Stories from the files of a newspaper man's memory. Based upon the best-selling book by Max Miller. Starring Larry Thor. Tonight, we conclude the story of Johnny Trompetto, which we have called Brother's Keeper.
Murder stories aren't my line. I cover the waterfront, but this murder happened on my beat, and it happened to the wife of a fisherman I know, so I had to cover it. It made a good enough story, plenty of mystery, lots of loose ends, a yarn that would sell papers for 2 or 3 days to come. But if it wasn't up to my usual standards of repertorial mediocrity, there were a couple of good reasons. One was that I knew more about the murder than the police did, and the other was Edie. Edith Wright, whom I hadn't seen since we graduated from college, who had promised to take a later plane up to Los Angeles so we could have dinner together, who was waiting for me now in the corner booth at Angelo's downtown on Fisherman's Wharf. I didn't even bother to proofread the copy. I spiked the story in the city editor's desk, and before he had time to read the lead, I was on my way. I had business elsewhere, unfinished business. Hi, Edie.
Hi.
I hope you haven't been waiting long.
I've been consoling myself with the first martini of the day.
Good, I'll join you. Angelo?
Si, Signor Moran.
2 more, and make them my way this time.
Subito, Signor.
Your way?
All the difference in the world. No vermouth.
Oh, you want to pour me on that plane?
I wish you didn't have to leave tonight.
Do you?
Yes.
I might come back sometime if you ask me.
I ask you.
I'll think about it. Seriously. Well, how did it go today?
What?
The shooting.
It wasn't a shooting. It was a murder.
Oh.
Mrs. Timpano died before I got there.
Well, who did it?
Well, the police are looking for a plumber.
A plumber?
It was a plumber's truck parked in front of the house. The next-door neighbor heard shots and then saw a man run out and drive off in the truck. That's the story.
What about the husband? Didn't you tell me you saw him this morning?
That's right. Drunk. Talking crazy about his wife making monkey business while he was away fishing.
Why, aren't the police looking for him?
No, they think he's still out fishing. They don't know he made port this morning.
But you do.
That's right.
Didn't you tell them?
No.
Well, why not?
Does Macy's tell Gimbel's?
Ecco, signor. 2 martini alla Moran.
Oh, they look dry enough. Huh?
Just the zest of vermouth, signor. A whisper, a caress. No more.
Good boy, Angelo.
Signor Moran.
Here's to you, Edie. May we see more of each other in the next 10 years than we have in the last.
I'll drink to that. Wow.
You like it?
Oh, I can tell better when I laugh.
It's the olive, Italian olives. Very powerful.
Well, Lee, this fisherman, this Trumpato? Trumpato. Do you think he killed his wife?
Probably. It's a very sick man.
What's the matter with him?
He suffers from a disease that can be fatal. Jealousy. Every time he came back from a couple of weeks fishing, he thought his wife had been cheating on him.
Well, had she?
As far as I know, the only man she ever saw was the padre when she went to church to pray for a safe return. Of course, it's the first time for everything. There's this plumber. Maybe Carla decided she might as well have the game along with a name. I don't know. I just wish they'd assign somebody else to the story. I know these people too well. I like them too well.
Maybe you're in the wrong business, Lee.
Yeah, maybe. Remember our senior year in college when we thought we were in love? Remember I had a job lined up carrying pipe in the oil fields down in Oklahoma?
We were going to live in a trailer.
But only for the first year.
Until we found the right
house. A yard for the kids to play in. I might have been a lot happier carrying pipe in an oil field.
Lee?
Yes, sir.
Excuse us,
senor.
Excuse us.
Yes, Angela.
There is a fellow wants to talk to you. I tell him you are busy. Say it's important.
Who is it?
I don't know. He's standing over there by the door.
Oh. Yeah, well, tell him to come over to the table.
Si, senor.
Who is it?
It's Frank Timpano, Johnny's brother. They own the fishing boat together. Something's happened or he wouldn't come over here looking for me. I'm sorry, Edie. This isn't much of a reunion, is it?
Well, it's my fault for dropping in on a murder.
Por favor, senor Lee. I interrupt, but I've got to talk to you.
Well, that's okay, Frank.
Excuse me, miss. I'm most sorry. Maybe we talk outside, Lee?
No, sit down. Miss Wright's an old friend of mine. What's the matter?
Johnny just telephoned me.
Where is he?
Hiding out down near National City.
What do he want?
He want me to bring him money so he can get away. What I ought to do?
If you help him get away, you'll be in trouble with the cops.
I know, but he's my brother. I can't turn my own brother
Let me handle it.
What you going to do?
Talk to him.
You going to turn him
I in? Said I'm going to talk to him. Where is he?
You're my friend, Lee.
If I wasn't, I'd let you stick your neck out. Where's he hiding?
You know Grady Slough that runs back behind the Navy lumberyard?
Yeah.
A friend of Johnny's got his bait boat tied up down there. Yesterita.
Hmm?
He said he would wait for me there. He said, come quick. Bring money. He sound crazy.
You go home. And don't talk to anybody. If the police show up, don't tell them anything. I'll take care of it.
You fix everything?
I'll fix everything.
Oh, thank you, Lee. You are my friend. I'm sorry I interrupt, lady. Very, very sorry.
I'm sorry, too, Edie.
For what?
I got to get down there and talk to Johnny right away.
Don't they call this obstructing justice or accomplice after the fact or something? Why don't you just tell the police where he is?
And let every paper in town in on it? I got to get the story first.
And then turn him over to the police after you've gotten what you want out of him?
I don't know.
You said he was your friend.
I also said I didn't want the assignment, but I'm stuck with it. It's my job, and I've got to do it even if it is unpleasant.
Unpleasant? I think it's dirty, rotten dirty.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Well, I got to get going. I can drop you back at your hotel.
I wouldn't think of taking you out of your way.
Now, look, Edie, please.
I'll just sit here, have another martini your way, maybe a couple.
I'll try to get back in time to drive you
to the... Don't put yourself out. I'm perfectly capable of pouring myself on that plane.
Her eyes brimmed with angry tears. The softness of a moment ago was gone. There must have been a word or a gesture that would have brought it back, but there wasn't time to search for them. I had to talk to a man about a murder, not in the interest of justice, but in the interest of circulation. As I drove down the bay toward National City, things got more and more confused. Maybe Johnny wasn't guilty. Maybe the plumber, or as they say, a person unknown had killed Carla. I pulled into a gas station and phoned Lieutenant Hayes of Homicide to see if there were any new developments. There were.
What kind of a waterfront reporter are you, Moran?
What do you mean?
The Trompato brothers made port early this morning.
They did?
Yeah.
I understood they weren't due back for 2 or 3 days.
Well, it's not the first time a suspicious husband got back from a trip early. Only this one murdered his wife.
Well, Johnny, what about that plumber?
We found him. His story checks. Never laid eyes on Mrs. Trompato until he showed up this morning to fix the sink. Trompato walked in 5 minutes later, full of booze and suspicion. Yelled something in Portuguese at his wife. She yelled something back. He whipped out his .38 and let her have it. The plumber left by the back door fast.
Well, just goes to show you never tell about people.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Hey, you picked up Trompato yet?
No, but we will. Don't worry.
I won't. I have great faith in you, Lieutenant. It was a good hideout, that slough. The Navy lumberyard bulked black on the opposite shore, blanking the glow of the city to the north. On the south side, 100 yards of stinking tidal flat stretched from the little-used dirt road to the channel where the Estrella was tied up. You crossed it by a creaking, rickety catwalk 4 feet above the muck. The tide was going out, the fog was coming in, and you couldn't see the light in the tiny cabin until you stepped onto the unsteady float. Johnny? Johnny Trompato. Johnny, I want to talk to you.
Who is it?
Lee Moran.
What are you doing here?
I want to talk to you. Can I come aboard?
Sure, come ahead. But I got nothing to say to you.
Hey, Johnny, put down that gun. I'm your friend.
I got no friends no more. How did you know where to find me?
Well, Frank told me.
Did he send the money?
No.
Got no friend, got no brother no
Haven't
more.
Haven't you done enough already? Do you want to get Frank into a jam?
He sure don't want to help me out of one. Okay, I'll make it all right. I'll make it by myself.
Why did you kill her, Johnny?
I tell you this morning, she make monkey business when I'm fishing. I go home, I find a guy there.
The guy was a plumber. He was fixing the sink.
Fixing the sink? If we don't have electric refrigerator, maybe you tell me he was ice.
Johnny, it's the truth. He never saw Carla before in his life.
You know, I make one big mistake, Lee. I killed Carla first. I should have killed him first. Big mistake. He got away.
The biggest mistake you made was to suspect your wife.
Yeah, yeah. What do you know about wives? How many wives you had, huh?
Well,
then don't talk to me. You go back to town. You tell the police. Write the story in the papers. You'll be big man. But Johnny, he be gone when the police get here.
Where? You can't run away from this.
Ocean's different south of here. Ocean's belong to Mexico. Johnny okay in Mexican
sure,
Ocean.
Sure, Johnny, sure. Maybe you can get away from the San Diego police. Maybe you can get away from the U.S. Coast Guard, but can you get away from Carla?
What are you talking about?
You loved her. You loved her very much. I know. I remember the day you met her. You told me how much you loved her. You were going to marry her and have a whole flock of kids, all boys, and they were going to grow up and be fishermen.
Get
and finally, when she said yes, remember how happy you were? Remember how you and Frank and I went out and celebrated, Johnny?
Shut up.
Put that gun down. Listen to me. Remember your wedding? What a party, and nobody went to bed until the next day except you and Carla.
Get off.
You can't run away from Carla, Johnny. Sensible. Come on back to town with me. I'll get you a lawyer.
Oh, sure, a lawyer. Maybe I don't get the gas. Maybe I get life. Maybe I sit in San Quentin the rest of my life. No, not
listen me. Listen to me.
I listen long enough. Now I'm going to tell you something. I killed today. I killed my woman. My woman I love. It makes no matter now if I kill again. They can't give you the gas twice. So shut up and get off the boat. I'm going to kill you.
I stood on the uneasy dock and watched as the little boat floated away on the ebbing tide. I listened as the motor turned over, coughed, missed, and then caught. Then the Estrella was lost in the sea black. No light shone from it now. There was only the soft, fading chug of its motor as Johnny put out to sea. Somehow, as I walked slowly back across the putrid muck, I thought of the River Styx and wondered why Sharon was not on duty tonight. At the hotel, they said Miss Wright had checked out, taken an earlier plane, and I wondered if I'd ever see her again. Well, I had my story, my byline story on the front page. It was a one-day sensation, and the grateful management squared the beef with the police, and I went back, covering the waterfront. That's how I happened to be around a couple of days later when the Coast Guard cutter towed in a small derelict they had found imperiling navigation somewhere off the Coronado Islands. It was the Estrella. Her gas and water tanks were full. There was food aboard. She was seaworthy, but she had been abandoned. I didn't say it in my follow-up story, but my guess was that she carried too many passengers. Johnny, his conscience, and the memory of Carla. And one of them had to go.
You have just heard Brother's Keeper, one of the stories from the files of a newspaper man's memory based upon the best-selling book by Max Miller, I Cover the Waterfront. Tonight's story from I Cover the Waterfront was dramatized by Tom Hanley and Gil Dowd and produced and directed by William N. Robeson.
A William N. Robeson production of I Cover the Waterfront, released by CBS as an audition on August 29, 1955. It's an hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark Levonier. And now a man billed as the master of mystery and suspense returns, William N. Robeson, as writer, producer, and director of this next broadcast of suspense. From November 9, 1958, a CBS radio broadcast pairing Charles McGraw and William Conrad, both heavies in the Ernest Hemingway-inspired motion picture The Killers, Robeson will explain in just a moment. For the story, Two for the Road.
Suspense. As the producer of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, the master of mystery and adventure, William N. Robeson.
Some years ago, Ernest Hemingway's great short story, The Killers, was made into a movie. Anyone who saw it will never forget the menace and brutality of the two gunmen in the opening sequence. Two nastier heavies have rarely been seen together on the screen. Feeling that their type of tough guy should not be allowed to languish in limbo, we have brought them together again in a rather different kind of story, yet still a story of heavies. Listen, listen then, as William Conrad and Charles McGraw star in Two for the Road.
Where are we now, Joe?
You've been asleep.
Yeah.
Where are we now?
I don't know for sure. Someplace in Arkansas, I think.
Sure is a big country, ain't it?
Yeah.
Hey, you want me to drive?
No, I'm all right. You get some more sleep, don't you?
I got enough. Sure you're all right?
Yeah, maybe a little groggy. We'll stop in the next place for coffee, and you can take it from there.
Okay. Hey, what time is it?
Must be past midnight.
You know, I keep wondering.
Yeah, wondering what?
Ah, if we're doing the right thing, cutting out like this.
What else could we do? New York is dead. Chicago and New York.
Think the coast will be any better?
It's gotta be. There's plenty of action on the coast.
I hope you're right. But all we got lined up is that job for Rocky. What about after?
Well, they do the job good for Rocky, he'll take care of us.
When we get there, you think?
Well, we come nearly halfway in 24 hours. If we go right through, we ought to make it by tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, it don't seem possible. It's such a big country. If Rocky wasn't in such a hurry with that job, we could see some of it.
Nah. Nothing between New York and the coast but scenery.
Oh, there's Vegas.
Yeah, but that's practically the coast.
Yeah.
You've seen one superhighway, you've seen them all.
Yeah, cities too. I was in Boston once for a tryout. Nothing.
Truck Haven.
Huh?
The joint up ahead there. Let's stop for coffee.
Okay. You know what they say, if the truck driver's stopping a joint, the food's gotta be good.
Well, I don't see any trucks, and all I want's coffee.
I can't go wrong on coffee.
This place might as well close up for the night. No cars parked outside. No customers inside.
Yeah, there's one. Look at that doll at the counter.
Yeah, not bad. What she's doing out here all alone in the middle of the night?
Waiting for a bus, maybe. Even. Aye. Two coffees make mine black.
Yeah.
Same here.
Two coffees. A miracle corner,
where every deal is... And Mac. What's the matter with your TV?
Huh?
It's about the lousiest picture I ever saw.
Best we can do. We ain't close enough to Little Rock. We're too far from Memphis.
It must drive you nuts all fuzzy like that.
You get used to it.
45111, and one of our friendly operators will take your order. If you're outside...
Hi, boy.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, ain't I seen you fellas before?
I don't know how. We ain't never been here before.
Neither have I. I'm from Memphis.
We went through Memphis this evening.
Funny. I'm sure I've seen you someplace.
In New York, maybe.
I've never been east of Chattanooga.
No, we never been west of Weehawken.
Well, excuse me for butting in.
Not at all.
I got it
all.
Give
me trouble. Hey, Joe. Not bad. Yeah. I've seen better.
Yeah? Not all the time. What do you mean? Well, it's magic didn't get to him. I had to use a direct method.
Tough.
I knew I'd see you before. Where? Right there on the TV.
Huh?
I can't tell through all that snow.
Charlie, look. How about that? It's an old Kenny in the plain clothes.
That is you, ain't it? Sure looks like you.
Yeah, it's us. Yeah, but do you mind reaching up and turning it off? It stinks even when you can see the picture.
You're actors.
Yeah.
I always watch your program.
Oh, glad to know we got an audience in Arkansas.
What you fellas doing way out here?
Driving to the coast.
Hollywood?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, you want a lift?
Sure.
Why?
Why not?
Well, we're driving right through. It wouldn't be very comfortable for
us. Oh, I don't mind. I won't take up hardly any room at all. And I don't have any luggage, just this purse.
Well, I don't know.
I got a little money. I'll pay for my share of the gas.
Well, it ain't that. It's...
Oh, come on, Joe. Let's give the kid a lift, huh?
Johnny, haven't you heard about picking up strangers on a highway?
You don't mean you're afraid of me.
Well, no, but you gotta admit it's a little kook finding a girl out in the middle of nowhere without any baggage wanting to go to the coast.
All right, it's like this. I'm running away from home.
Why don't you run back? We don't want your husband gunning for us.
Oh, no. I'm running away from my old man and my old lady. Tonight we had a big beef and I walked out. Got a ride out of Memphis as far as here.
What's so funny?
don't you worry about giving me a ride. I'm the one that's got the worries. This fellow that gave me a lift out of Memphis wanted me to pay for the ride. The price was too high. That's why I'm out here in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, what a dirty, no good...
But you guys don't look like that type.
Oh, not.
So I trust you and I'll accept your invitation.
Well, okay. You finished your coffee, Lothario?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right, let's hit the road then.
Me on my way to Hollywood with two famous actors.
Oh, we're not so famous.
Not famous? Why, I bet the Plainclothesman is the most popular TV show in Memphis. Everybody knows Joe Harris and Charlie Bloom. You're Charlie, aren't you?
That's right.
And you're Joe.
Yeah.
How come you're going to Hollywood?
They killed us. We're dead.
Damn.
Yeah, but what Joe means is we got too big for the Plainclothesman, see? And the star of the show... Hubert Bromley?
Oh, I can't stand him.
Yeah, well, anyway, he's a star. He didn't like how big Joe and I was getting, so he had the writers get us killed in last week's episode.
Well, that was mean of him.
That's showbiz. And being as how we was typecast as hoods, we couldn't get any good parts in New York. Actually, Joe and I are pretty serious actors.
Oh, I knew you are.
Yeah, we just look like hoods.
That's what I liked about you in the Plainclothesman.
Yeah. Well, we got this pal in Hollywood, Rocky. Rocky Lamont? He used to hang around Walgreens, but he's a director now, and he's got a couple of swell parts for us and a pilot he's shooting. The Three Musketeers.
Well, I thought that was a kid show.
Musketeers, not Mouseketeers.
Oh.
That's why we're in such a hurry. Rocky starts shooting day after tomorrow.
Say, honey.
Yeah, Joe?
You got any idea where we are?
Hmm. Oh, you'll be too far from Little Rock.
Hey, Joe. Joe, look, must be a wreck up ahead. All those flashing red lights.
Police cars.
It's a roadblock. They're signaling us to stop.
Hey, what do you suppose they want?
Who knows?
Don't stop, Joe.
What do you want me to do, barrel right through?
Yeah.
You crazy or something? It shoot us full of holes.
We'll shoot back.
With what?
With this.
Hey, Joe. Look, she's got a rod.
What? You nuts, you put that out of sight.
Help!
What's the matter with her?
Well, don't ask me. She was your idea.
Over here.
Thank heaven you stopped us, officer. These two men are kidnapping me.
Okay, you two are. Now, listen, officer, this broad split.
Yeah, we just met her up the road.
Pull your hands up.
All right. Now, look, Sergeant, I'm sure we can explain everything.
You better.
Now, you, young lady. Hey, Sam.
Yeah?
Big Al ain't here. The door on the other side's open. She must have got out that way.
There she is. She's on J6. Hey, stop! Stop, or I'll shoot!
Look out, she's got a gun.
My, how chivalry has fallen in Arkansas. Shooting at women. It'll be children next.
All right, mister. It's my duty to tell you that anything you say may be used against you. Frisk him, Sam.
Right?
Where you from?
New York.
Where you going?
Hollywood.
Yeah, Sergeant, we're just driving through.
They're both clean.
Mm. Check them against those descriptions. Are you in Memphis tonight?
Yeah.
Doing what?
Just driving through.
Here, see your driver's license.
Okay. It's gone. My wallet's gone.
So's mine, Joe.
That broad, she's a pickpocket.
Yeah, she stole my wallet. You gotta arrest her.
Oh, don't you worry. We'll arrest her as soon as we can catch her.
Descriptions fit, Riggs.
So's the car. Blue and white convertible. New York license plates. Check their registration. What's your name?
Joe Harris.
And what's yours?
Charlie Bloom.
Whose car is it?
Mine.
The car's registered to Yusuf Horowitz.
Mm. Now, come again. What's your name?
Joe Harris.
And that's your car?
That's right.
And how come it's registered to Yusuf Horowitz?
Well, you see, Joe Harris is short for Yusuf Horowitz.
Why'd you steal the car?
Look, I didn't steal the car. It's mine. All of it, it's paid up. That's my name, Yusuf Horowitz. Joe Harris is my stage name.
That's right, officer. Hey, listen, you don't believe that crazy broad, do you? You don't think we kidnapped her?
Nope, not for a minute. I think she was in this here thing with you from the beginning. I think she drove the getaway car.
Get away from what?
The holdup of the Cotton State National Bank in Memphis this afternoon.
What?
Snapped the cuffs on him, Sam.
Yeah. But, now, look here. You're making a terrible mistake.
You haven't got any charges.
Oh, yes, we have. Armed robbery and murder. That bank teller you shot died an hour ago.
Donkey!
Hey!
Knock it off down there.
I gotta talk to you.
I said knock it off.
Hey!
You got no right to wrap him across the knuckles.
I got any right I want to take.
Now, listen. Where's the sheriff? I told you I want to talk to the sheriff.
I know you did.
What did you tell him?
Maybe I did, maybe I didn't.
Now, you can't keep us in jail like this.
You in, ain't you?
Where's the sheriff?
I wouldn't know.
Now, look, listen, we got to get out of here. We got an appointment in Hollywood.
You better cancel it.
All right, Sam. You can bring in the prisoners.
Yes, sir. This way.
Sit down, boys. I hear you want to talk to me.
You're darn right we do, Sheriff.
Well, good. Because I want to talk to you.
What about?
Can't you guess?
A cop last night said something about a bank robbery in Memphis, but we don't know nothing about it.
Yeah, we're just a couple of actors.
Well, it looks like you're a couple of bad actors.
Look, you can check it. I'm Joe Harris.
Yeah, that's Charlie Bloom.
Now, we've been playing the heavies in a TV series of plainclothesmen.
Yeah, we were on last night on Channel 2.
Well, I don't look at TV very much, but I look at descriptions of wanted men and... You fit the description of the men who robbed that bank in Memphis yesterday.
Well, that was just a coincidence.
Well, is it a coincidence that the girl who was with you last night when you were arrested fits the description of the girl who drove the getaway car at the bank holdup?
Yeah, that's a coincidence, too.
I want to talk to an attorney.
You can.
Now, we got to write the counsel. You can't hold it like...
I can, and I am. Incommunicado for 72 hours, and that's the law.
Oh, listen, Sheriff, be reasonable. We got an important date on the coast. We're late as it is.
And you're going to be much later.
You can't prove that we robbed that bank.
Can you prove you didn't?
Sure, ask anybody who saw the plainclothesman last night.
Yeah, ask that girl. She saw us on TV last night.
I'd like to ask her a lot of things. Like, what about the kidnapping?
Sheriff, there wasn't no kidnapping. She asked us for a lift, and we gave it to her.
Well, until I question her, we'll just forget the kidnapping charge, huh?
Thanks a lot.
But you can make it easier on yourself if you cooperate with us about that bank robbery.
You must be kidding.
I don't kid. Now, let's have the story.
Look, I told you we're actors.
Yes, oh, yes. Well, then act.
What?
I've got plenty of time. You say you're actors, well... Go on, act.
Will you believe us if we prove that we're actors?
Well, I'm not making any promises. The burden of proof lies with you.
Hey, Joe, let me. I'll prove it to him. Remember that closing speech in the plainclothesman that got me the Emmy? All right, you listen to me, copper. You put the roust on me for the last time. I hate cops. I was born hating cops.
Joe.
And cops ain't done nothing all my life to make
Joe.
Me like them. I've always promised myself that someday
Joe.
I'd kill me a cop, and today,
Joe,
today...
Will you shut
Let
up?
Let him go on. I believe him. Well, I believe every word he said. Oh, go on, boy. What are you going to do after you kill your cop?
That's all. That's the end of the speech.
So you hate cops, huh? Well, that makes us even, because I hate punks.
Hey, now, wait a minute. He didn't mean that. He was acting.
He convinced me.
That he's an actor?
No, that he's a bank robber.
All right, listen. Now, if you don't understand Charlie's acting, you listen to this. It's a different kind of actor. Oh, what a rogue and peasant slave am I. Is it not monstrous that this player here, but in fiction and a dream of passion, could force his soul so to his own conceit, and all for nothing? For Hecuba, what's Hecuba to him, or him to Hecuba, that he should weep for her?
Well, now, who's this Hecuba? Of course, Hecuba's that broad that swiped that motorcycle.
Well, that was from Hamlet, Act 2, Scene 2. That was acting.
Oh, that was acting. Oh, now, are you ready to talk about that bank job?
Look... Once more, real slow, we don't know nothing about no bank job.
Well, like I said, we got plenty of time while we're waiting for you to make a confession on the bank robbery. Maybe we can find some other charges against you.
Oh, but this is crazy. What charges?
Well, I don't know yet. I'll know better after the lineup.
Lineup?
Yeah, a couple of acting fellas like you claim to be. Oh, my, you ought to enjoy the lineup. I'll put you up there on the stage with the footlights on you, and I'll give you an audience.
Look, you don't have to do that. That girl, she knows who we are. Ask her.
Well, I can't not know we pick her up. But it'd be nice to have her in the lineup, too, now, wouldn't it, boys? Yeah. That'd add a little sex appeal to your show. Sam?
Yeah, Chief?
Got anything on that girl yet?
Yeah, Chief. The teletype just came in a couple minutes ago.
Oh, they got her?
We might say they have. Found her an hour ago in a gully north of Greenville.
Well, she didn't get far then.
Far enough. She's dead.
Dead?
Yeah. Guess she didn't know too much about driving a sickle. Skidded the thing right through the guardrail last night.
Well, thank you, Sam. You hear that, boy?
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta believe us.
I don't gotta do anything. You gotta get a new alibi.
All right. Get up there on the platform. Stretch out there. Arms length apart. Hit the lights.
Wow, they're bright.
Yeah, they could use some scrims.
Okay, Sheriff, we're ready here.
We're going to get out of this, Joe. I don't know, Charlie. I don't write the scripts. I just act them.
All right, folks. Will you please come in now? Yeah, geez, folks. Just take a chair there, anywhere. Right there, that's all right. Just sit down right there. Yeah, that's it. Now, we're holding these men as suspects. Any of them look familiar to you?
No, I don't know about that,
dude. Well, it's hard to say, Sheriff. The holdup happened so fast.
Well, maybe you heard them speak. What was it that the gunman said to you?
This is a stick-up. Don't move and nobody will get hurt. Something like that.
Well, all right, you men. Now, you men up there, let me hear each one of you say that. That this is a stick-up. Don't no one move and you won't get hurt.
Me? This is a stick-up. Don't no one move and you won't get hurt.
Next?
This is a stick-up. Don't no one move and you won't get hurt.
Yes. Next, man.
This is a stick-up. Don't no one move and you won't get hurt.
Last man.
This is a stick-up. Don't no one move and you won't get hurt.
That's him! That's him! I'll never forget that voice as long as I live. I couldn't see him, of course. It was pitch dark.
In the bank?
No, in my bedroom. He crept in through the window and he stood over my bed and I could hear him breathing. And then he spoke. He didn't say those words, of course. And then I screamed.
Yes, well, you can testify to that in court.
Oh, yes.
Well, thank you, Mrs.
It's Miss Freilinghausen.
Oh, I see. Well, thanks, ma'am. Yes. Now, Mr. Johnson, about the bank robber.
Well, I'd like to hear that second man again.
Okay. You, number two.
Huh?
Speak your piece again.
This is stick up, don't no one move, and you won't get hurt.
Well, Mr. Johnson?
Yes, I'm fairly sure that's the voice. He was the only one who spoke. That other one there stood by the door and covered him. He was the one who shot the teller. Yes, I'm positive now. There's no doubt about it. They're the ones.
Good. I want to thank you folks for doing your duty as citizens, taxpayers, and voters. Take them back to jail.
Well, boys, I guess we can stop the play acting. You ready to confess?
We haven't got nothing to confess, Sheriff.
We heard the people. Mr. Johnson will testify in court that you stuck up the bank. And we got you on a breaking, entering, and attempting.
I wouldn't go near an old bag like that if I was alone with her in a desert.
Of course, they've seen us before, and they heard us before, every week on a TV set.
I'm satisfied with the identification, and the court will be too. But I'd like to save the county a lot of time and money, and you can make it a lot easier on yourself by just giving me a full confession.
You can save yourself a false arrest suit by letting us go.
On your own, say so?
No, you got our fingerprints. Why don't you send them to Washington?
We don't need to help the FBI in this county. We solve our own crime.
Excuse me, Sheriff.
Yes, Sam.
They just brought in body that girl. Here's her purse. Guess there's no doubt she was the one who drove the getaway car. She was carrying $2,500 of the bank's money in this purse. See?
That's one-third of the stolen money. What'd you do with your cut, boy?
Oh, knock it off.
Hey, wait a minute. Look, Joe.
What?
Our wallets. Look, she had our wallets in her purse.
What?
Your hands off that stuff.
Well, look at them, Sheriff. You'll find our driver's licenses and our all sorts of ID cards.
This is Joe Harris. I won't prove anything. You've been identified by the victim.
Oh, but Sheriff!
Yes?
Your wife's outside, Sheriff.
Well, tell her
Oh, no, that wouldn't be good.
I'm afraid not, sir. She's on her way in.
Elmo, why didn't you tell me you were entertaining celebrities?
Huh?
Clarabelle Froehlich hasn't called me. Oh, poor thing. She's all confused when she was down here. She was sure she'd seen him somewhere before. And after she got home, she realized where. On TV. Well, aren't you going to introduce me?
Now, look here, Ellie. I'm very busy.
Oh, don't bother. I'd recognize him anywhere. You're Joe Harris.
That's right, ma'am.
And you're Charlie Bloom.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my, this is an honor. Here, Elmo, give me a piece of paper and a pencil.
Yes,
there. Now, would you please give me your autograph?
Oh, I'd be delighted.
You don't know how delighted, ma'am.
Well, what brings you to Alfair City?
Your husband.
Why didn't you tell me, Elmo? We could have had a parade and a civic celebration. Hope it's not too late for an impromptu reception, at least.
I'm afraid we couldn't make it, ma'am. You see, we're under arrest.
Arrest? What for?
Your husband thinks we're bank robbers, ma'am.
He wants to send us to prison for the rest of our lives.
Elmo, have you lost your mind? Don't you know that these two gentlemen are famous actors?
Not until now.
We tried to tell him.
You want to make yourself the laughing stock of Jackrabbit County? And just before election, too?
No.
Well, you let them go this instant.
But, Ellie, how can I be sure?
Just take my word for it. Oh, honest, I don't know what would become of you if it weren't for me.
Yes, Ellie. Well, boys, here's your wallets. I guess you can go.
Oh, my goodness, I don't know how I can make this up to you. But I'd be tickled pink if you'd come out to the house for supper.
Well, thank you, ma'am, but we're in sort of a hurry.
Yeah, you see, we gotta make a picture in Hollywood, and we're a little late.
Well, don't forget us.
I don't think that's possible, ma'am.
And when you come back again this way, do drop in to see us.
Yes, ma'am. We'll think about that, ma'am. We'll think a long time about that.
Suspense, in which William Conrad and Charles McGraw starred in Two for the Road. Written, produced, and directed by William N. Robeson.
Suspense on Tuned to Yesterday, a William N. Robeson production from CBS, heard on November 9th, 1958. And that wraps this hour of mystery. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for listening.